Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Amen. The text for consideration today, recorded for us in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 19 through chapter 4, verse 1. We hear these words in verse 21. The Lord continued to appear in Shiloh, because at Shiloh the Lord revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. God's word is truth. Amen. Way back in the day, when the telegraph was a communication of choice, Tim applied for a job as a Morse code operator, answering an ad in the newspaper. He went to the office, and when he arrived, he entered into a large, busy office filled with noise and chatter, including the sound of the telegraph in the background. A sign on the receptionist counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and then wait until they were summoned to enter the human resource director's office. They just called him boss back that day. And Tim filled out his form and sat down with the seven other applicants in the waiting area. And after a few minutes, Tim stood up, crossed over to the HR room, walked right in. Naturally, the other applicants perked right up, wondering, well, what's going on? Nobody heard anyone summoned yet. They thought this guy was making a big mistake. Within a few minutes, however, the HR director escorted Tim out of the office and said to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has just been filled." And the other applicants looked at each other with a sense of injustice, and one spoke up, "Hey, wait a minute. I don't understand. He was the last to come in, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed, and yet he got the job. That's not fair." The employer said, "I'm sorry, but the whole time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours." None of you paid attention to it except Tim. The job is his. Are you listening? And there are so many voices shouting for attention in this world, but what about God's voice? Are you listening to the voice that matters most? Samuel was a miracle baby, in every sense of the term, prayed for by mom. And mom vowed that he would be a servant of the Lord even before he was conceived. And she brought him to the tabernacle to help out at the age of about 3 or 4, something like that. And he stayed at church. Church became home to him. He slept in the altar area next to the Ark of the Covenant. Old man Eli, the high priest, he took care of him. Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, they were busy doing their own thing. And wicked things they were. They were priests who stole from the offering plate. They slept with women who worked there. I mean, there was a hashtag Me Too movement afoot at the tabernacle 3,100 years ago. And Eli warned them, "You know, what you're doing is not good, but you don't mess with God that way." But he didn't reprimand their evil ways. There was no consequences. And Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, you see, they knew the Lord. They knew the word, but they didn't follow the voice of God. And this is what Samuel grew up around. And even more, Scripture tells us that when he was young, that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. No one shared Bible stories with Samuel. No Sunday school for Samuel. The kid who slept in church next to the Ark of the Covenant had no idea about the presence of the Lord next to him, like his bunkmate. What's your story? Was it close to Samuel's story? Or is it close to Samuel's story? Growing up with bad examples all around and not even really knowing the Lord. Well, let your past determine God's calling for you. Samuel didn't. God called him. And God calls you too. You see, Samuel chose a different path. Against the grain. It's so easy to conform to the world around us, to go down to the least common denominator of decency acceptable. I mean, right, if they can get away with it, I can get away with it too, and that, but that isn't Samuel. Don't let that be you either. Samuel recognizes that he has a higher calling, and that higher calling was to listen to the Lord, continue hearing his word, and follow through on the will of the Lord, and that is what he did. How many of you are looking for answers? Oh man, I bet Samuel was looking for a lot of answers. And why none of this was making sense. But for you, you know, is it how to get a better ACT score? Is it how to score the right college? Is it how to find the right spouse? How to improve your marriage? How to improve your family life? How to stay away from the addictions of society? How to calm your anxieties? How to care for your son and daughter with depression? How to care for grandma? How to choose the right career? How to do the right things in your career? How to live life? How to live life right to the last breath? I mean, how many things do you come across in each and every day? So many people. There's so many people. There's so many books, political platforms, and podcasts that have answers to your questions, but who knows if they have the right answer? There's a lot of noise out there, but who can you trust? May I suggest something to you today? You have to start somewhere. And let that somewhere be here, in the Word of God. You can trust His voice. You can trust His Word. And with thousands of choices that you make every day, start with what counts, and the rest, and let the rest come what may. You know, the Lord, it says this in verse 21, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Yes, let's start there. Eli started with love for his sons and put that right above what is right and what is wrong according to the Lord. And if we start there, let us turn away from it. Because you see, when this isn't right, your relationship with God, then nothing else will be either. Hophni and Phinehas, oh man, they let position, power, fame, and the sinful nature take over. Good golly, I mean, they made gods out of themselves. And we see their destruction. I mean, read 1 Samuel, first few chapters. You read it, it's sad. Don't let it be your destruction too. Turn from it. Fight the good fight of faith. Even battling against yourself, that is the hardest battle there is. Trust in the Lord. Be in His Word. Let Him tell us our sins. Let Him tell us our need for a Savior. Let Him tell us how redemption came through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Let Him tell us how misplaced priorities and idols that have destroyed our lives way too often. Let Him tell us how to turn away from it and find forgiveness from the Lord. And He does. And let Him tell us that redemption is ours through the gift of faith. Let Him tell us eternity is open to us through Jesus. And that is the start. From there flows your ministry. What calling has God given to you? Dad, Mom, how will you fulfill your calling to serve your family? It starts with Scripture. It ends there too. And what calling has God given you to serve in the family of believers? I mean, if it's the pastor's president or the person who cleans the pews, ushers, greeters, or the hundreds of other things you do because faith resides in here, in your heart and in your soul. Where to start? You know where. It starts and ends with Scripture. God has called you to serve Him in this big open world. How do you do that? Well, it starts and ends with Scripture. And that is a foundation. And everything else has to fall in line, be plumb with it, or it's got to go. Sola Scriptura, only Scripture. 500 years, 3 months, and 17 days ago, there was a debate in Germany, and the Leipzig debate threw Martin Luther and Johann Eck into arguing about what voice to listen to. And Luther stated that Scripture was the only true authority in the church and in our lives that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. That is our heritage. Let the word dwell in our hearts and lives. Let us start and end with Scripture. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.